This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Biden has been there pushing, trying to get something done on climate. He promised he'd get it done. So, listen, if you just erase the past 6 months of nutty stuff, that's a successful presidency.
Maybe you can just go back.
Go back?
Yeah.
Pretend the whole thing never happened.
Never happened.
I was blowing off a little steam. So what?
So what? You're entitled.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We're at a transitional moment.
You know, one of the reasons that we should all be very careful about even using the word recession.
I want to talk to you today about the use of the R word. You see, the R word is very bad.
Says who?
Says me.
Jerome Powell doesn't get to say it. We don't get to say it, right? And one of the reasons that everyone is so careful about that is that if you say it too loudly, people start to worry.
Hey, relax. This man's been put under a lot of pressure here. Let's take it easy on it. Say it! Say it!
Why don't you enjoy the rest of your session?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
All right, welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. We are joined once a month on a Friday evening, usually towards the end of the month, which we're at in July now, by Dr. Matt Callahan, Matt the Vet. He is the house veterinarian of the Howie Carr Show, and he's here to answer your questions about your pets. Anything you want to ask him is on the table, 844-500-4242, or you can text us a question for Dr. Matt at 63566. Text Howie to 63566, and we will take the question. And Dr. Matt will be here all through the hour. And thanks for being with us, Dr. Matt.
My privilege, Howie.
And where can people reach you during the week if they need some your services?
Well, I'm the chief cook and bottle washer at the Ipswich Animal Hospital. The number is 978-948-8189.
All right. And I was telling you about I showed you the picture of that little Pomeranian in Dedham.
Yes.
Abandoned in a cage, 3 to 5 years old, cute as a button.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it since, you know, there's a lot worse things they could have done to that dog, right? They clearly wanted it to be found, so, and they didn't want it running across the road or anything like that. So
maybe they should have left some water with it, though.
Maybe a shelter would have been a better idea. You know, it wasn't the best thought out thing, but clearly they could have done worse to it, and obviously it's going to get a great home at this point.
Yeah, so it's a great picture on the Globe website of the dog. And I got a call today from someone who works at a shelter this week. And he said that a lot more dogs and cats are being turned in because people are just bust out, and especially the increasing cost of pet food.
Yeah, I mean, pet food has gone through the roof. But also, you know, we had these great, huge number of adoptions during the lockdown because people were stuck at home and the shelters were emptying out at that point in time. But now they're filling back up as people probably realize they're going back to work and can't manage a dog or something like that. Maybe they weren't prepared to have one.
Anything people should be aware of in this heat?
Yeah, you know, I think you need to remember that dogs, especially dogs, are worse at managing their body heat than humans. You never see a sweaty dog because they don't sweat. And so humans perspire, which is a very efficient way of radiating heat. Dogs respire, so they have to pant it off. And so, you know, when it's 60 degrees, they're breathing in 40 degree, you know, colder air than their body temp, which just makes it very easy for them to regulate it. When it's 95 degrees, they really can't regulate their body temperature very well. So keep them indoors, keep them in AC if you can. So
yeah, that was another terrible story this week about somebody was arrested for, he had a Siberian Husky and he taped up his mouth.
Right.
So he couldn't pant.
Right.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
844-500-4242, 603, Dr. Matt, we have a standard poodle who just shakes in the car anywhere we take him.
Yep.
Trazodone doesn't help. Any suggestions?
Well, there's a couple of things. Sometimes this is anxiety, and sometimes it's nausea, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. So I would give him, I would first try a drug like Serenia, an anti-nausea drug, to see if
that
helps.
Did you get that over the counter?
No, you have to get it through your veterinarian, but it's a very good anti-motion sickness drug, and it does actually make them feel better. You can go to higher more sedating, more potent anti-anxiety drugs than trazodone, or you can go to a higher dose of trazodone. I know there's been something recently about anti-anxiety drugs not working because there's no evidence of chemical imbalance in the brain. So, but I, having said that, I have seen anti-anxiety drugs work. So you could try a different anti-anxiety drug or combinations of anti-anxiety drugs.
All right. Marie, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Marie.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two chihuahuas. They both have cherry eye.
Yep.
One of them already had surgery, and it worked out very well. And I've been putting off the other one. Now they both have it.
Yep.
His other eye, and one, the female, their brother and sister,
yes.
The female has just one eye.
Right.
What is your opinion of surgery?
Absolutely. I'll explain what cherry eye is and then what we want to do. Cherry eye, dogs have different tear glands around their eye, and this is the tear gland of the third eyelid, or the nicotating membranes, that little third eyelid that pops up if they have any irritation in their eye. So the tear gland pops up, and so it sort of floats on top, and it, you know, that, so as you, now you can picture cherry eye. Cherry eye is a surgical condition in almost every case. We want to go ahead in and surgically tack it back down. This is one of the most common second and third tries that veterinarians do. It's very hard to make this thing stick down. I've, you know, done a million of them. Most vets have. It's absolutely, you absolutely want to do surgery to try to fix it, because you don't want to be dealing with a dog with dry eye at 8 or 9 or 10 years old, where you're putting drops in their eye 46 times a day for the rest of their life. So
good luck, Marie. 844-500-4242, 617. Have a Maltese on Apoquel and Cytopoint.
Yes.
Great results for her skin. How about all the ads of supplements for skin, et cetera? Do they work, recommend, or not?
Yeah. You know, I think the two best drugs for just atopy or inhalant allergy in dogs are the two you mentioned. There are a number of good supplements. I think the essential fatty acid supplements, the DHA, EPA supplements, are very good and can help a significant number of dogs improve. I wouldn't say 100% improve, but improve. You can do allergy shots too. That's a little bit more expensive, a little bit more hit or miss. Especially as the dog ages, it's a little more hit or miss. But so supplements, yes. Allergy shots if you want them, but Apoquel and Cytopoint are terrific. I really like them.
All right. 844-500-4242. I'm not sure about one word here. Fur mowing in cat. I don't know what that means. But belly and inner legs bare.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like it's a neurotic habit.
Yes, it is.
Low stress environment. So what should he do?
Well, this is called barbering. Yeah. And so cats, as you may know, cats have a very rough tongue. So if they lick repeatedly, they'll barber, they'll cut off the hair, the tongue will...
Barbaric.
Thank you very much.
They call it fur mowing?
I've heard it called barbering. But, you know, mowing is a perfectly good term. So, but it is a behavioral problem. And so almost exclusively indoor cats. So environmental enrichment can help. You can do...
What does that mean?
You know, get them a jungle gym, or get them some toys to play with, or, you know...
How about catnip?
Absolutely. you can try, again, anti-anxiety meds. That they can work. Environmental enrichment can work. You know, those are the type of things we think about doing.
All right. Let's see. Kimberly, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Hi, Howie. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate everything you do.
Sure. Thank you.
And Matt, hi. Thank you for... for taking my call. I have a puggle, one of three.
Nice.
And one of them, my youngest female, is a ratter.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I live near the river, and the rats come up at night, and they're eating out of people's garbage and running through my backyard. I can visually see them. And she gets them.
Yeah.
A puggle gets a rat? Yeah, I would think it would be the other way around.
What's the problem so far? I haven't heard of a problem yet.
The problem is that she's inoculated, but I'm still concerned with her potentially getting bitten.
Yeah.
Or
sure.
Or what the, you know, am I just freaking out over no apparent reason?
No, I don't think there's no apparent reason, because certainly they can get wounds and those wounds can get infected, and that can be a problem. If your dog is currently vaccinated for rabies, there hasn't been a currently vaccinated dog get rabies in Massachusetts in 50-something years.
Really?
So, yeah. You know, Massachusetts, and I've always accused the Commonwealth of Massachusetts of if there's an opportunity to do something that has common sense, they're not going to do
right.
it. But the Department of Public Health does actually have a lot of common sense with regards to rabies vaccination in dogs. But remember, it is the Department of Public Health,
yeah,
not the Department of Animal
they've
Health.
They've had a few problems
exactly.
over the years.
So if you think you have rights, right, you don't really have them. But if your dog is currently up to speed, and it really should be, rabies vaccination, let's not confuse rabies and COVID, rabies vaccination has been phenomenally successful, and so you, from a rabies perspective, you shouldn't have too much to worry about.
Okay, we're going to take a break. If you want to call Dr. Matt, 844-500-4242, or you can text us. The lines are hopping tonight, but you can text us, Howie, to 63566 if you want to ask Dr. Matt a question. What's the number to call if people want to get to you?
People can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital at 978-948-8189.
All right, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10, if it's used at all.
He regret it to his dying day. If ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Massachusetts taxpayers ever receive a refund from the $3 billion budget surplus under a forgotten 1986 state law?
We can't afford it. The crumbling infrastructure, it's for the children. Oh, it'll destroy our bond rating. Oh. Any one of those excuses will be sufficient.
I'm picking it will be a logistical nightmare.
80% say no.
All right, 844-500-4242. With us is Dr. Matt the Vet. What's the number, Dr. Matt, if people want to call you?
My number is 978-948-8189.
Okay, Dr. Matt, you've had your eye on the magic eight ball.
Yes,
would you like to ask it if you're going to win
I'm waiting for people to ask me questions, then I was going to use the magic eight ball to answer them.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Now you're putting them on the spot. What did you want to ask it?
Let callers ask, and I was going to answer pretty, but I'm already getting terrible answers, so
Mark,
let's skip it.
Mark, you're next. We're going to let you ask a question, not of the Magic 8 Ball, but of Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Mark.
Unless I'm stumped.
Go ahead, Mark. You there? He's gone. Dennis, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, Dr. Matt and Howie, thank you for taking my call. I got 2-pound puppies, and I live in North Carolina, so they spend most of their time in the house. It's been so hot. I got Daisy. She's probably 5 or 6 years old, and the vet said that they thought she was a lab, maybe a German Shepherd. She's like a gazelle. Mm-hmm. And I got Buddy that I got when he was probably a year old. He was a stray, and he was...
What's the question, Dennis?
Well, I want to know what I can do for a senior dog who's losing it, who looks at me like I'm losing it. I have to spoon feed him at night,
yeah.
Or he won't eat.
Yeah, how old?
17, 18.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, we talk about this a lot. This is your reward for getting your dog to 17 or 18. You have problems like this. Cognitive impairment or dementia or doggy Alzheimer's, whatever you want to call it, is very, very difficult to treat, and I have not treated it successfully, at least to my knowledge. So there are some medications, some One's called Selegiline. I'm sure there's some brain supplements for dogs. And they may do some mild help, but I don't think you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck in a 17 or 18 year old dog as far as returning them to a normal cognitive function.
Good luck, Dennis. 857, ask Dr. Matt if I should bathe my outdoor cat. She likes rolling around in the dirt. Can I do it, or should I bring her to a groomer?
It depends on your cat's reaction to water. If your cat wants to murder you when you put it in water, I would bring it to a groomer. If not, there you can do it at home with a sink, and there's plenty of great pet shampoos out there, but buy a pet shampoo, not a people shampoo.
So my dog yawns constantly, don't know why, just a little bit concerned, wondering if Dr. Matt might know why.
If he's otherwise doing fine, I don't think yawning in and of itself is. I mean, yawning is part of a symptoms of a lot of different diseases. So if your dog is eating well and drinking well, is, you know, young and otherwise healthy and active, I don't think yawning in and of itself is a problem.
Ask the doctor if coyotes raised from pups can be good pets.
Yeah, that's maybe 201. I should go to the eight ball here. No.
Very doubtful, no, says very the magic doubtful,
exactly.
Eight ball.
Highly unlikely, says the eight ball, right? No, coyotes are wild animals. You can't keep them as pets, so yeah, don't.
Yeah. It's not even, yeah, you don't even, shouldn't even try.
No, it would be a mistake, yeah.
Yeah. Paul.
They need to go through a rehabber.
Right? Paul, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Dr. Matt. Our 14-month-old Australian Shepherd has developed pink spots on the tops of his paws.
Pink hairless spots, or
on the top of his paws, or the tips of his paws, on the
like the toes, the knuckles of the toes.
Okay, but without hair or with hair?
Without.
Okay. Yeah. So. Certainly a lot of possibilities, skin parasites or allergies, probably a little young for allergies, but skin parasites definitely could be it. Certainly worth a trip to the veterinarian, have them take a look at it. Skin infections with yeast or bacteria or skin parasites are all possible on that one.
Yeah. Can they get infections on their paws?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, dog skin is way more sensitive than human skin. So dogs can get skin infections virtually everywhere.
Maureen, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Maureen.
Hi, Dr. Matt and Howie. I wound up getting these two little kittens. They're 16 months old, a brother and a sister. And they're very active. They're all over the big house and that. Well, lately, for the last month or so, they've been chasing these bugs that, you know, whoa, staring at the ceiling. And I have to get some kind of stick to try to capture them and kill them on them. And they were long black wings on them. So I didn't know what they were until I started to kill them and found out inside those black wings, they look like little hornets. They are bees. They're yellow and
right.
Black stripes.
Right.
And they're hard to kill. And I don't know if they're usually flying up high, and that's what drives the kitties crazy. They can't reach them. And they're coming by the front windows.
I think this is a job for the exterminator. Isn't it, Maureen? This is not a job for Dr. Matt. This is a job for Orkin.
What is there anything you want me to say about this? Or it must be very entertaining for the cats, I'm sure.
No, it's driving them nuts. But I'm wondering, when these come down on the floor, could they bite them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your cats can get stung by a bee, for sure. And that might not be pretty if they do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I probably wouldn't, you know, using an exterminator that works outside if your cats are indoors. I'm assuming your cats are indoor cats. So, but you use an exterminator to try to get rid of them. And yeah, I would worry about even dead bees being able to sting
cats. As the old ad goes, stop squawking, call Orkin. That was Arnold Stang, I do believe. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Dr. Matt. If you got a question for him, about your pets, give us a call. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're here with Dr. Matt from the Ipswich Animal Clinic.
You got it.
And you can call him at any time during the week and get his services. What's your number if people want to talk to you?
My number is 978-948-8189.
All right. So 603 says, what type of dog should I purchase if I hit the Mega Million? So I guess that's a way of saying, what's the most expensive dog there is out there right now?
Wow. You know, we were just talking about expensive dogs, and, you know, you get some of these really unusual breeds, and they can go in the, you know, $5,000 to $10,000.
Really?
Really easily, yeah. Really easily.
So what do you think the most two or three expensive ones are?
Gosh, I don't know if I deal in really expensive dogs. I'm more of a mundane dog veterinarian. So maybe we should go to like Palm Beach or Manhattan to find the really expensive ones.
All right. Well, you know what?
Doggo Argentino is going for around $8,000 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, those and
Tibetan Mastiffs
10,000. And Italian Mastiffs at Cane Corsos.
They're so big, though.
Right.
Who the hell wants a big dog like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the liability. I mean, someone's going to have your $1 billion pretty quickly if you have one of those types
right.
of dogs.
Right. Plus, these dogs are only going to, we've talked about this before, the bigger the dog, the less the life they have.
Samoyed is going for around $14,000 right now, coming in at number one.
Yeah.
Not a Samoyed.
I would have never guessed.
No, there are a lot of Samoyeds.
And I like Samoyeds.
They're cute dogs.
Yeah, they're nice dogs.
That's got to be like high-end Samoyeds.
I go 13.5 for a Samoyed and no more.
A lot of knockoff Samoyeds out there, apparently.
That's got to be with a full package
Samoyed. Keyshawns.
All right. Okay, Veronica, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Veronica.
Hi, Howie, is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, all right. Anyway, it's Kathleen, and I have a Labradoodle, and I just moved to Florida. I've tried four different groomers. I finally found one groomer. She's great, but something I don't understand, she was talking about that she was trying to clean his anal sacs, and he kept on tucking his cheeks in.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to get into it with her.
Yeah.
I never went into nursing because that stuff makes me, I don't understand that.
Okay.
What the hell was she doing?
Well, and I think this is actually a good sign. Some groomers will make sure your dog's anal glands are expressed because some dogs they'll overfill. Many groomers do not, but some do. So if she was having trouble, at least she tried. So that's a perfectly normal thing, and groomers do it. And some groomers do, and some groomers don't.
Thanks for the call, Veronica. Someone says some 508 says buy a Boston Terrier, perfect cool dog. They were the number one dog in America, right? For popularity,
yeah,
for a while,
very
for a long
popular,
time.
Yeah, yeah. I think when we talk about pugs and Frenchies and Boston Terriers, they do have some health problems, especially with breathing. So you want to be careful when buying those dogs. But Boston Terriers are terrific dogs.
Yeah, they're small dogs.
Love them.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they last.
Very portable.
They last some time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Someone else votes for a standard poodle. I love standard poodles.
we generally talk off air about standard poodles because we both are big fans of standard poodles.
Yeah, they're good dogs. Really. 844-500-4242. Johnny, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Johnny.
First off, thanks for taking my question. My Westie's closing on 14.
Wow, nice.
He's got cataracts in one eye, but the other eye's starting to go a little bit.
Yep.
So, at night, especially at night, like I just pick him up. Yes, he's going to go scratch the door if he has to go out, but I pick him up and carry him down the stairs because he's totally lost that. Is there anything, because I know at that age that the surgery would probably kill him, is there anything, any kind of drops or anything I could do for the one good eye? He's probably got like 50% vision in it. Is there anything I can do for that?
Right. There's the surgery might not kill your dog, but it might kill you. It goes for about $8,000 to $10,000 an
Yikes.
Eye now. So
you could almost buy a Samoyed for that.
Really? Yeah. Buy half a Samoyed. But what they do is they fake emulsify or take out the old lens, and they actually put in the surgery is done often enough. They actually have custom lenses for dogs, so you measure the eye and say, okay.
Is it dangerous?
I don't think so. No, not dangerous at all. I mean, other than anesthesia, but in cost. But there's dogs manage anesthesia at virtually every age. You know, the age of the dog isn't the disease. If they have a disease, then that's something different.
But dogs get along okay with.
Oh right, absolutely.
Just
yeah,
less and, vision.
Yeah, and there is a product that I will probably not mention at this point because it hasn't been proven yet. But there always are products for not really cataracts in dogs, but nuclear sclerosis in dogs, which is an age-related condition, and there are drops that are coming out that have some potential to work. Now, there are always drops coming out for old you know, old dog lens opacity. And very rarely, you know, these just don't work. It's just you're buying snake oil. But there's some evidence that some newer products will be good.
All right. Thanks for the call, Johnny. 207, my male cat tries to cry but has no voice. Laughing out loud sounds weird. Never has had one. Is this unusual?
No, it's not that unusual. Some cats just don't, yeah, just don't talk very much. Yeah, they don't have the vocal folds for it.
Derek, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Derek.
Yes, thank you very much. I've got a black lab, 75 pounds, and this Resto collar works great on her for ticks and fleas and the like, but is that safe? I've heard a lot of information that it might not be good for dogs.
Yeah, you know, we hear a lot too, and I think veterinarians, when they talk amongst themselves, don't really have the misgivings that people that might have ulterior motives have about trying to pitch you on the bad, you know,
what
bad
ulterior
news about
motives?
To make you not buy the Seresto and buy another product.
Oh, buy another. Okay.
So I think
just a different brand.
I think the bad mouthing is based on probably jealousy more than anything else. I mean, you know, I've been selling the product now for years and years, and almost never. I mean, very rarely. Every product has, you know, problems, and it certainly has some too. But Seresto, I'll be quite honest with you, is a product I love. I use it in my own pets, and I, you know, can't speak any more highly about it than that. So, really good product.
Thanks for the call, Derek. Sean, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, Dr. Matt. I have an Australian Shepherd Standard, and she has a condition. I believe they call it EIC.
Okay.
I think it's exercise-induced collapse.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
I've certainly heard of it. I've never seen a case of it, but so.
What's your question, Sean?
Well, is there any treatment for it?
Yeah, I do not know. You got me stumped on that one. So I don't know that there's any treatment. I've never experienced a case of it.
Does the magic eight ball know?
Let's see.
I'm sorry, Sean, that we can't help you out. The magic eight ball seems to be
Mexican. It says outlook good, though.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, Sean, that we couldn't help you. David, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Howie and Dr. Matt. Hey, I got a four-year-old silver lab, probably the best dog I've had yet. He has food allergies, had him tested. So, what I'm feeding him is correct, but it seems like I went to the vet because he had a lot of pink around the bottom of his mouth.
Yep.
And she gave me like wipes to use, and
yep.
Of course he's got the gear, so I do clean them normally, but
yep.
Can't seem to get rid of it. But
yeah, I mean, you might be talking about like lip fold pyoderma. Dogs can get inflammation and infection in that on their lower lip. There's a little cleft in their lower lip on either side, and it's called the lip fold, and dogs can get infections there. So you can use, you know, I actually generally use like witch hazel wipes, something like that, but you got to do it fairly frequently. It's a control issue. It's not a cure issue. So it's something you're always going to be
often?
Trying to control. Oh, like twice a day.
Twice a day. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David. Let's see. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. Howie, great show.
Thanks.
Enjoy your many mean memories.
Thanks.
And quick shout out to Taylor. Can't turn you off when you're speaking your mind as you sub for the great Howie Carr. Now let's get to the question for the dog. I'm talking about, oh man, Taylor's awesome. I'm talking about adding supplements to my puppy.
Yep.
3.5-month-old pup.
Yep.
And she's getting the brown food, but I want to talk about adding like cooked chicken and some cooked veggies in there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not really against it. I think you don't want to make that the majority of their diet, but there's lots of good diets out there where you don't actually have to add anything.
What's wrong with feeding the dog people food?
I don't. You're going to get a lot of variation on that. I think as a sole diet, it's incomplete for a dog. I always used to say dogs been able to live with people because dogs can eat a people diet, but people actually eat a dog diet. You know, a lot of meat and a few other things, right?
Yeah.
So what I would say, if you're going to put you know, you're not really supplementing food. You're just adding people food to the dog food. I would say lean meat is fine and green and vegetables are fine. I would try to avoid, you know, pastas and rice and all the carbohydrates that they get tons of in their dry dog food. Dry dog food is very high in carbohydrates. So then you also have to be careful about their weight. You know, no matter what you're doing, now you're trying to shuffle two different, totally different types of food, a fresh human food and now a kibble-based dog food. And you have to be very careful because you're going to make your dog overeat and they're going to get too heavy, and that's going to be the biggest problem.
We hear a lot of on a Let's Go Brandon segment about the price of dog food and cat food going through the roof.
Well, if you can find it, right.
If you can find it, and that's one reason why a lot of them are being turned in to the shelters
right.
and the kennels.
Yeah.
But so if people have to downsize to or, you know, get a less expensive type of food, what should they be looking for?
You know, I think, and I stress this to my clients all the time. I tell clients, I believe there's better foods than others, but I use the term believe because it's not a ton of science behind what I just said. So if you feed a good quality dog food, Prenic makes a perfectly good quality dog food. They also make some lousy foods. I just choose to buy the good ones. You know, so Purina makes very good dog foods. You can buy good quality dog foods in the grocery store. The main thing with any dog food is to keep your dog thin. If you don't keep your dog thin, they are just overweight, and they suffer the problems that overweight dogs suffer from.
So is there anywhere they can read up or any websites that are better than others?
Yeah, there's lots of good ones. There's the Veterinary Information Network has a whole client side. I think it's called VSPN. So it's just an information network on all sorts of common topics. The AVMA has one, which is the American Veterinary Hospital Association, and the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association. They all have client information on health problems and food.
Yeah. 339 reminds me, Gunnar ate Kowloons all the time.
Yeah, and Gunnar lived to about 46. Right?
Yeah.
And Gunnar did pretty well.
Yeah. But it's just I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right, and she loved it too. Yeah,
was she a fat dog or a thin dog?
She was in good shape.
Yeah, she was, which tells you that's the thing.
And outlived Pearl, who was not in good shape. All right, 844-500-4242. We'll take some more calls for Dr. Matt when we come back. You can text us at 63566 if you got a question. What's your number again?
My number is 978-948-8189.
I'm Howie Carr.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We got full line still here for Dr. Matt, but he's willing to stick around. So if we say goodbye tonight in about 5 minutes, stick around if you're on the line, and Dr. Matt will take your questions until we
me and the magic
we wrap up. 844-500-4242. 978 says our new vet in Florida, since we escaped Massachusetts, told us to get Simparica Trio.
Yes.
What's your opinion?
Simparica Trio is a very, very good product. It has sort of heartworm preventive, flea and tick preventive all in one. It is outrageously expensive. So you can save yourself, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars per year just by using separate flea and tick and heartworm products. But I have no problem with the product itself, just the expense of the product.
Is it over the counter?
No, it's okay. Prescription only.
All right. Patricia, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Patricia.
Yes, good evening. My cockapoo has a prolapsed third eyelid, and
yep.
We are seeing an ophthalmologist veterinarian on Tuesday, recommended by our vet.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this online, and it's saying, stitching might be recommended, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just very apprehensive if the dog needs to have something like that done and close to the eye. And what is your opinion, doctor, as far as is something like that helpful or painful?
Well, it does depend somewhat on what the problem is. If it is a prolapsed third eyelid, that's one thing. If it's a cherry eye, which we talked about earlier in the hour, that's another thing. veterinary ophthalmologists aren't picked from the bottom of their veterinary class. They're pretty bright people, and most of them are pretty darn good surgeons too, from what I can see.
But the cherry eye is less serious, right?
No, I think both of them, you know, things can be corrected medically, and there's sometimes there's nothing you can do, and dog just has a prolapsed third eyelid. That's not that big a deal. But if it has cherry eye, it really should be surgically corrected, and that's the treatment.
Good luck, Patricia. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Howie, how are you?
Good.
It's good to, actually, my question for Dr. Matt is, you know, I went out to the grocery store and I tried to get her normal dog food, which is usually ground chicken, fresh ground chicken, and they're out. I went to three places, they were totally out.
Yep.
But I got her the fresh pet beef, but I got a little roll of the chicken. How should I do it? Should I, like, just, like, mix it?
Well, yeah, you know, in theory, you should mix it, you know, a little bit. If you're switching over to beef, it should be, you know, maybe three quarters chicken and one part beef. And then, you know, over a week, sort of switch them slowly over to completely beef. That's a perfectly fine way to do it. I mean, having said that, I just switch my dog when I switch her. You know, it depends on your dog's sensitivity to change.
I don't think most dogs care. That's in my opinion.
In theory, you should.
In my experience.
Practically, you can switch them over however you want. The real risk is diarrhea. So,
Nina, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Nina.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 2-year-old Keyshond who has been diagnosed with epilepsy.
Okay, yep.
And we thought, and he's under the care of a veterinary neurologist, board certified.
Yep.
But I'm not satisfied. It's like everything happens after the fact, in that, you know, two nights ago, he had a horrible seizure and was making terrible noise. And I felt you feel so helpless.
Absolutely,
just
right.
Him pills.
Yep.
What would you recommend, Doc?
You know, and
well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing about, you know, it's epilepsy is very difficult to control in people, and it's very difficult to control in dogs. You know, seizures are one of the hardest things for you to see. I remember the first time I saw a dog seizure, and that's now 40 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's very upsetting. So I completely empathize with how you feel about it. But, you know, you're dealing with a neurologist. These people, again, like ophthalmologists, are one of the smartest people in veterinary medicine, and they know what they're doing. You just have to go with the program. Sometimes it takes a while for them to get on the right drugs and the right doses of the right drugs, and those can change over time. So really, you have to trust the process. As hard as it is, you have to trust the process. And if a neurologist tells you to do one thing and I tell you to do another, do what the neurologist said.
What's your number again?
978-948-8189.
Hang on, Barbara and Rick. Dr. Matt will take your calls. Thank you, Dr. Matt.
Thank you, Howie.
I'm Howie Carr.